Hello everyone, my name is Mihai and during the next 60 minutes or so I'm going to talk to you about two things. These being Windows Azure Services throttling and fault handling. These are two different topics which can also be treated together very well, and you're going to see it in the next 60 minutes or so. Because throttling events can be treated as a separate case, a very specific case of faults, of transient faults. Just before I go into the agenda of today's of my first talk today, let me present myself. So my name is Mihai, as I mentioned before. I'm a Microsoft MVP and also Windows Azure Insider. I'm general manager of Avelgo, a software company based in Romania, where we do custom software development and we do consultancy and training. And in the past 2 years or so, I've done a lot of work with Windows Azure and its related technologies. So my first talk today is based on real world experience with Windows Azure. Okay, so my first talk's agenda is going to focus on two things, as I mentioned before. First, I'm going to explain what throttling is. Of course, in the context of Windows Azure, then we're going to see that multiple services in Windows Azure can throttle. And then I'm going to explain in deep one of these services, this being SQL database, and how throttling happens in this specific scenario. And then most of my talk is going to focus on transient fault handling, which is a special block of code, part of Enterprise Library, which is designed to help us, including with throttling events, but other transient faults as well. Okay, so first topic of my first session today, throttling in Windows Azure. First of all, we have to remember that Windows Azure is a multi-tenant environment. So our services, as we perceive them as application developers, are hosted on the same machines back in Microsoft data centers as other customers' services. So we might get into situations where the resources we need are not enough or actually can become unavailable. This might happen because the same machines run the same services for multiple customers. So throttling in English means a resource becomes scarce or unavailable, and it may very well happen in Windows Azure as well. There's quite a bunch of services which can encounter these types of errors. They are SQL database, Windows Azure Storage, Service Bus, and caching. Once you get to understand one of them, it's very easy for you to understand the other three. So because of that, and also because of the limited type of this talk, I'm going to only go into detail about SQL database throttling, how it behaves, and how can we react on such events. So here we go. I'm going to talk to you about the SQL database throttling, and there are two types of throttling events we should expect in working with SQL database. There's the not so bad one, let's say, which is called soft throttle, and which is and there's the worst one, which is called hard throttle. The first one, let's say we have a database in SQL Azure, and we are making a query, a command, something. We're interrogating this database, and some resources on that machine become not necessarily unavailable, but they pass a certain level. When they pass this certain level, a kind of warning system is generated. And from that moment on, our database, so only our database, won't accept new connections. All the other databases on the same machine will be able to accept new connections. So in soft throttle, only the database which generated the throttle event will be affected. All of the other databases won't be affected at all. Well, on the other hand, the hard throttle mechanism is much worse, and it's happening. So when it happens, all the other databases on the same machine will be affected. So the conclusion, the partial conclusion we can extract out of this is that we can never predict hard throttling events, because maybe we generated them, maybe somebody else on the same machine generated them. Our database will be very much affected. So because there's nothing we can do to prevent those, we can only do something to react on such events. As of today, SQL database has a specific way of signaling us that throttling has occurred. This is just an example for today, and it might change in the meantime. Today, it signals us with a connection error with a specific number, which is 40501. But as I said, this might change. The number itself, so the error number itself, doesn't tell us anything about the throttling causes and reasons. It's just telling us that throttling has occurred. But the error itself contains a next, so a string, a message, which also contains a reason code. And there is a very beautiful schema if you're into playing around with bits, which can help you understand the reason code. So the reason code is a number we need to analyze. And it comes with quite a few information, like three different sections of information. The biggest part is why. What did it happen? So is it a soft throttle? Is it a hard throttle? Which is the resource which was affected or which generated the throttling event? And then the third part, how bad is it? Because there are throttling situations when a SQL database can react pretty easily on us. I mean, it can maybe only reject inserts or updates, but we can still do deletes and we can still do read on the same database. Or it can react in a much worse way, which is reject everything, any new connection on the same database, or on the whole machine if you're talking about a hard throttle. So the reason I have this slide on my session is not because I wanted to explain into detail how to decode the reason code, because it's pretty much, you can find it very easily on the internet. And I have a link at the end of the presentation on the resources slide, which explains exactly that. I want to stress that it's very important for us when we encounter throttling events to get those numbers and analyze why that they happened. Because sometimes we might be the reason for throttling. I mean, our code maybe does something which is not very performant and brings specific resources to, I don't know, maybe 100% usage. And maybe we can do something about it. So sometimes it might happen that it's our fault for those throttles, and we should know. Okay, let's explain a few scenarios with throttling, and let's see how machines in Microsoft data centers behave in such situations. So we have throttling scenario number one, where we have customer A with his own database using 30% of the CPU on the machine. And we have customer B, which kicks off a load, let's say a query, which uses additional 75% additional CPU on the same machine. In this situation, customer B gets throttled. Well, we have a solution. So the load balancer will move B, in this case, away from the machine. B generated the throttle. B is going to be the victim. So we have a fair solution, so to speak. Then we have a scenario, a bit different scenario, when customer A is using 70% of the CPU on a machine. Customer B comes with another 30% load on the same CPU, and now customer A will get throttled. We still have a solution. We can debate a lot about the fairness of this solution, because A was using more resources. Okay, I can agree with that. But B was the customer which generated the throttle. A is going to be the victim. This is how it is right now. And then we have a third scenario, which is more like a theory scenario. It's very hard for it to happen in reality, but it might happen. The machine has no active workload. Then customer A kicks some load, brings the CPU to 100%. Well, in this situation, you won't have a solution eventually, because this solution the data center will try is to move A to another machine, where the same query will start again. It will bring the CPU back to 100%. It will try to move it again on another machine. This will eventually stop only when customer A will stop the query. And of course, we'll analyze it and maybe change it and maybe understand what it's done illegally or not so well in terms of how to use the resources on the same machine. So these are a few scenarios I wanted you to better understand how throttling can happen. And now I'm going to show you a very small demo a very simple application with a SQL connection, a SQL command with ADO.NET code, targeting a SQL database, so a database in Azure, which will throttle from time to time. And we're going to see how to react on that, on such events. So let me switch to my Visual Studio environment, where I have this very simple application. As I said, it's just a main function with two methods. One of them is commented out. I'm going to run only this method first. And this method does a very simple job. As I said, it's ADO.NET, a SQL connection with a SQL command, targeting a stored procedure in a SQL database environment. I'm doing it 5 times, so I increase my chances to get throttled, because I might not get throttled the first time. This stored procedure will return only one element, the first element of a table, actually, or it will be throttled. And now let me show you the stored procedure and its code. I switched to my Windows Azure portal. Now I'm going to look into get orders stored procedure code. Okay, so here it is, get orders. And here is the logic. As I mentioned, from time to time, I'm going to raise an error. Now, this bunch of code, this stored procedure, only simulates throttling. And I'm doing it because it was very hard for me, and it's going to be very hard for you also, to get throttled whenever you like. I mean, if I'm trying to do the demo right now, and hopefully expect a throttle, a real throttle in SQL database, I might be disappointed, because it's not going to happen when I wish it would. That's why I decided to simulate a throttle. So every other second, I would raise an error. Otherwise, I will select something from a table in this database. And by simulating the throttle, I really mean it, because I raise exactly the error SQL database will generate whenever a real throttle would happen. Okay, so going back to Visual Studio, as I said, I'm going to query the same stored procedure 5 times and see how it behaves. I'm running it, and exactly the first time it encountered the error. I'm going to run it again. Now, 4 times it went okay without any problem. The 5th time we encountered the error. Now, in real life situations, you won't be satisfied with this solution. You're going to say, okay, we have an exception, we caught the exception. Yeah, but this is not enough, especially with throttling, because throttle errors, because they are a special case of fault of transient faults, which is a separate chapter of this talk later on, they might happen only very rarely. I mean, you may try the same thing again and again and again, and only from time to time you will be throttled. So this solution I showed you before, this one, let's throttle again, is not satisfactory, because look, all the program logic, all the flow stopped right here at the third trial. So what we would want to do is have something done in our code to prevent this to happen, or to try again. So this is what I'm running now, the second solution. And here it is. The first 4 trials, it went okay without any throttle. The 5th time, it got throttled, but then it retried 1, 2, 3 times until it succeeded. So I'm going to run it again, so we can see maybe a different pattern. Yeah, first 3 went okay, the 4th was didn't succeed the first time, it retried, and only the 2nd time went on, and so on and so forth. So this is a better solution, because we got the same exception, but we retried, and eventually the code logic went on without any other problem. Now, I'm not going to spend now time looking at this method. I'm going to go back to the slides and define first on the slides what I used in this demo. Okay, so here comes the 2nd part of my talk, which is explaining transient fault handling. And in order to do that, I have to explain what transient fault handling application block is. It's a set of libraries and configuration files. It's a part of Enterprise Library Integration Pack for Windows Azure. This means that if you have worked with any other component of Enterprise Library, work with this component would be very similar in terms of configuration, in terms of the way you write code, and so on and so forth. So very familiar. Its job, actually it has two jobs. First of all, to identify faults considered as transient. And second of all, to implement a retry mechanism. Now, what's transient? Transient faults are considered any faults which might happen or might not happen. So when you try to do a thing, you get an error. If you try to do it again 3 seconds later, you might not get an error. That's what I said previously, that throttling events are a special case of fault, of transient faults. But transient faults may be are a much larger set of events, not only throttling errors. And there's a very big confusion I've seen on the internet, on blogs, in articles, that many people confuse throttling with transient faults. And it might happen because they usually go together. Whenever you see an article about transient fault handling, the example might refer to resolving throttling events. But as I said, throttling events are just a special case of transient faults. This block, transient fault application block, has already defined a set of exceptions it will consider as being transient. And we're going to see that into much more detail in a few minutes. I want to stress out very, very clearly that this block is not a substitute for exception handling. It's there for us to retry if something went wrong, but eventually, after we retry two or three times, whenever we like, it might happen that the last time we retry, we get the same exception again. So we still need to implement a try-catch, so an exception handling mechanism. This is not a substitute for that. Okay, there are some transient faults predefined for Azure services. So as I mentioned before, this block of code comes with special classes which have some code logic already there for us to automatically detect some faults related to Azure services. And of course, we can define our own transient faults. So we can use this block not only to prevent throttling events or to react on them, not only to react on faults, on transient faults coming from any service part of Windows Azure, but we can use this application block with any API, any service out there in the world we might try to use. Okay, so the second demo I'm going to start right now is much larger. It's also a bit more complicated. I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. And it's focused on transient fault handling with some focuses on throttling, on entity framework, and so on and so forth. Okay, so let me switch back to my Visual Studio environment. So before, I ran the solution with the second method, with the policy attempts, just to remind us where we were. Now let me go and take a look at the second method I've been using. So here is the retry policy mechanism which I implemented using the transient fault handling application block. As you can see here, this is a class part of this block, and of course, I should show you this thing first. If I go to my project, manage NuGet packages on it, and I see the installed packages, one of them is being exactly transient fault handling application block. This is transient fault handling application block right here. So in order for you to start the solution with transient fault handling, you first need to install these packages. And you can find them very easily with NuGet. Okay, so this class is part of this block. I'm going to use this retry policy in order to implement a retry mechanism in such a way that it will retry three times at every other 3 seconds. And it's already configured to identify a special set of transient faults. This is a class, also part of the transient fault application block, which only job is to identify transient faults coming from SQL Azure. And I took my liberty to, I'm going to take it again, to decompile, to disassemble actually this class. So the class I was referring to is this one, part of the transient application block. I'm looking at the method called is transient. And if we look into this code, we see there are some error codes it will consider as being transient. This is 40501, exactly the error code which signals throttling, but there are other error codes which this block will consider as being transient. So these are all error codes coming from SQL database specifying transient faults. And there's also on the resources slide at the back of my presentation a link to these codes, which are the codes considered as being transient. And by the way, if we look at this if here, if number is 40,501, it will add to the error some information. This information being exactly the throttling condition, the reason code I mentioned a few minutes before. Okay, so this is what this class does. It's used to identify special errors. It will consider them as being transient. Okay, moving forward to our code, we can create a handler for an event called retrying. I'm only using this to log some messages. It's always a good practice for you to log everything to instrument your code. And in this particular case, to log the retry mechanism, so the retryers themselves. We can always do that. So this is what I've done here. And in order for us to query or to work with the SQL database connection, we have two options. Here, uncommented, so the working one, is using a reliable SQL connection class. This is a special class, part of the same application block, which is nothing but a SQL connection, a plain ADO.NET connection, SQL connection, but decorated with a retry policy. So when I open this connection from now on, it will already have implemented the retry policy I have defined previously. Further on, I'm going to have a very similar code to the previous method, so just a command executing a stored procedure, but the execution itself is also done in a particular manner, because I'm not using executeReader, the method in ADO.NET. This is the method from the same block. It's an extension method, and let me go ahead to its definition. As you can see here, it's part of this namespace, very, very long namespace of this class. This class comes with a bunch of extension methods you should use whenever you want to write code, ADO.NET code, but also which implements retry policies. Okay, so going back to the code, I have to execute a method like that. And from then on, our connection, our command, will know that we have a retry policy there. It will implement some retrial mechanism. Okay, so let us do a few things here. We can change a bunch of stuff. Like, for example, we can go ahead, as you remembered here in disassembler, that this class can identify other numbers like these ones as being transient faults. So this is the first thing I'm going to do. I'm going to change the error code my stored procedure is raising from time to time from 40501 to 40143, for example. Let me go back to the portal. So let me remember the number. And clipboard is a very good memory tool. Windows clipboard. I'm saving the stored procedure. And now it's going to raise another error from time to time. And if I'm right, then the application should implement the same retrial mechanism, even if this is another error. Let's go ahead and see. Yeah, exactly. So, excellent. We have run the same application again. We received an exception, another error code, and here it is with the retry mechanism implemented very well. Okay, now we can try a bunch of other stuff, like instead of using this class, which identifies a predefined set of transient faults, we can define our own special class, which does a very similar thing. Special class, which I already wrote, and now I'm going to its definition right here. So this data access transient error detection strategy is a class I wrote. It implements an interface with a single method. And what I did here is simply any SQL exception with number, so the error code SQL Server, SQL Azure generate for us being 53, is going to be considered as transient. Of course, this is just is just here for the demo purposes. In a real life situation, you have maybe more complex logic to identify other types of exceptions. But this was very easy for me to show. And now going back to the code to make sure that I'm using the right class. Okay, now I have to go back to the stored procedure and generate another error. Oh no, let me do it in another way. Because error 53, which I'm using here, is relating to network problems. So I'm going to change to alter by intention. So I'm going to alter the name of the server I'm targeting. It's not going to work, of course, but it's going to retry three times. Because I defined this special error as being transient. So it retried one, two, three times, and then it's going to break eventually because this will never work. Because it's a problem with the connection. I mean, there's no server with that name anywhere in the cloud. So as you can see here, we can implement our very own transient fault logic and mechanism in order for us to react not only to predefined errors as being transient, but to our own very own exceptions if we consider them as being transient. Okay, let me go back and unalter the code so it will work further on. I always tend to forget things like that, small things like that. Okay, we are back at the previous state. Okay, so I mentioned before that in order for you to target a SQL database with ADO.NET but with a retry policy, you have to use Reliable SQL Connection class. You have the other option. Using a SQL connection class as it is, but then on connection open, you will have to replace this code with, let me comment this line, with another extension method right here. And then if I've done everything right, it should behave the same. Let me go ahead and run. Yeah, it behaves the same. I mean, the first queries went through, the first two, the third didn't go through for the first time. It retried for two times, and so on and so forth. Quick moment, quick break, because I see some questions there. There is a very short one from Gert, I guess. Can this also be used from Entity Framework? This is actually my last demo, so please be patient. There are some other very long questions. I promise I'm going to take them at the end of my presentation because the text is very long and I'm going to lose too much time to understand what they're asking me. So please be patient, because at the end of the slides, I'm going to have 5 minutes exactly to answer your questions. Okay, so I mentioned before that you have two options to work with ADO.NET. SQL connection with, and then you are forced to work with these methods, open with retry and so on and so forth. Or you can use reliable SQL connection class. The choice between them is yours. There's no difference in behavior. It's the same. I think what you need to consider or the criteria you should base your selection on should be how much code you want to change. If we are talking about legacy code, then of course you don't want to change too much code. If we are talking about a new application written from scratch, then it doesn't really matter. It's just a matter of choice. Okay, another point here with these extension methods, like execute reader with retry, this method has some overrides, actually six of them. I've used the second when I specify explicitly the retry policy it should use. I can use the first one, and then it will behave in a different manner. And let's see. I'm going to run the application. See, I didn't specify any policy on the execute reader method. And it crashed. I don't know why it crashed. It shouldn't behave like this. Maybe because I don't have anything configured in the configuration file. Just let me take a quick moment to look at that. No, it should be there. Let me go back to my other classes, to my previous state, because there might be something I've done wrong without my intention. Let me run again. It should retry. I mean, the mechanism should be there, but it should behave differently. Yeah, and here it goes. So the first two queries went through. Notice that the third one lasted much longer, and we had no logs. So we haven't seen any retry mechanism log text in our console. Now, the first one, because I'm running the application again, the first query doesn't go through. Or at least it takes some time. Then the next two went fine. The fourth one lasted very long. Why it behaved like this? Well, because execute with retry with no other parameter in here, with no parameter actually, will use the default policy as configured in the configuration file. So I'm not using this policy defined right here at the beginning of my method. That's why, by the way, we don't see any logs in the console, because this event is referring to this specific retry policy. And on execute reader with retry, we're not using this one, but we're using another one. This one predefined here in the app config file. So I'm switching to the app config file, and here we see that we have a default strategy called demo. With a number, a different number of retry count, and with a different retry interval. It's 7 seconds instead of 3. And let me change it to 20, so the difference is quite obvious. Now, whenever it won't go through for the first time, we're going to wait at least 20 seconds. And as you can see, it's 10, 12, I guess, already. Much more than 7, much more than 3, as our in code retry policy is defined. I think I passed 20, so it didn't work. Yeah, 20 seconds or so. Okay, so please be careful with these little tricks. See how it behaves, because it's very easy to make a mistake like that. And talking about configuration, there are two more things I need to tell you. First of all, the second option for you to define your retry policy instead of writing it explicitly in your code is to read one from the configuration file. So this is what I'm doing here. I'm defining my retry policy as being taken from the configuration file. This approach is much more general, so I would recommend this second approach as opposed to the previous one, because it will allow you to be flexible to define another retry policy without the need of recompiling your application. So now everything should work exactly as in our first demo, except for the times which are different. I'm going to switch back to 7, not to waste too much time waiting for the policy. Now we should see logs, we should see it working, but with a different bunch of settings. So as I said before, I would recommend this approach for you to implement your retry mechanism. Okay, how can we edit? Oops, I accidentally closed it. No problem. How can we edit these configuration files? I mean, we can do it manually, or we can use a tool called an extension of Visual Studio called enterpriselibrary.config, and here it is already installed in my Visual Studio instance. If you don't have it, please go ahead and install it. It's very helpful. Whenever you work with any component, with any part of Enterprise Library, you have a very smart tool for you to configure your files. I want to open again my Solution Explorer. So that's what I'm going to do right now. Edit my app config file using this tool. So I made a right click on app config, opening this tool, and here it is, my transient fault handling settings. Okay, and I have a retry strategy, as you've seen in my XML file already. I'm going to change it to 9 seconds and maximum retry 3. Save, close, and see our file. It's been changed also. I'm going to run it again, and we're going to see 9 seconds intervals between retries. And maybe you've noticed a slight difference between this retry policy and the previous one. Also, there is a setting called, let me go ahead because I have it right here in the code. There is a setting called fast first retry, and if you put it to true, then the first retry will go immediately after the failure, or otherwise it will wait for the number of seconds that you specified as the time interval. So however you like it to be. Okay, now I'm back to my explicitly code defined policy. Okay, everything works just fine. Okay, let me see if I have anything to show you here. Yes, I think I have one more thing. So your code in this case is what you're trying to do, what I'm trying to do, is interrogating or querying a database, or I don't know, sending some commands to a SQL database. And we can do it with execute reader with retry, so those extension methods, or we can do it in a different way, like this. I mean, have your own initial, if you like, unaltered ADO.NET code with execute reader, surrounded by an execute action method which comes out of this my retry policy. So I'm going to comment this code and leave only the second part. We should have exactly the same behavior. So this code is going to read the same data, the same stored procedure, with execute reader instead of execute reader with retry. But it's going to work because it's surrounded by this execute action call, method call. So let's see if it works. Doesn't work. Oh, it was, so the exception was caught. Yeah, this is the difference. I mean, the exception was caught, but the retry policy is doing its job. Okay, so I just was able to debug. Not very helpful in this scenario. You saw that we have exactly the same behavior. And I explicitly wanted you to see this approach of using this application block, so instead of extension methods with execute action, because this might be very helpful when you would want to write your own code targeting third-party APIs, third-party web services. Any code you write in here will be treated as a target for transient fault handling mechanism. And depending on your policy, depending on the faults, the transient faults that you identified there, it will retry. So building on that, I have another project in here in my solution. Here it is. And I have a very small entity framework model. So this model only has one class, which is correspondent to a table in my database, but also has a function import. Here it is, function import. So I have a function called getOrders, which will eventually call the stored procedure with the same name in my SQL database. So I'm working with entity framework here. Let's look into our code. This code right here, the selected code, is an ordinary link to entities code, context.getOrders.firstOrDefault, and so on and so forth. And to make it work with the transient fault handling mechanism, we have to define our retry policy, and then we have to execute an action on this policy, which in turn will execute this code. Let me make sure this is the selected project. It is. Let me run. I see an exception here. I don't know what happened. Oh, it's the same thing again. The exception is caught, but the mechanism is working, as you can see here. I'm going to stop it and run without the debugger, so we won't be distracted. Okay, so now I'm running without the debugger. We can see that the retry mechanism works with Entity Framework. Okay. Just a bunch of stuff I understood recently, because I ran into some of the guys working on Entity Framework and on throttling in Microsoft. They assured me that it's safe for me to tell you that Entity Framework will support transient fault handling out of the box shortly. And I've been told that, well, shortly might mean very shortly. We don't know exactly when. But right now, in order for you to have an Entity Framework app work with transient fault handling, you need to write some separate code on top of your Entity Framework one. But it will support it out of the box. This is what I'm hearing. So we should expect now, and now I'm I suppose we should expect the next version, the Entity Framework 6.0 version, to have this mechanism working out of the box. So I think I'm done with my demo here. Let me switch back to the slides. And during our presentation today, we talked about throttling in Windows Azure, what it is, which are the services which can throttle, and I mentioned to you that SQL database is one of the services. We have also three other services which can throttle, and they are service bus, caching, and Windows Azure storage. I went into a few details about SQL database throttling, why it behaves like that, how we should react on it, and on top of that, I showed you how to use transient fault handling. First, how to react on throttling, but also how to handle any kind of transient faults you might expect, even if they are predefined or they are customly defined by you. Now, because we still have some time, I'm going to take this opportunity to answer some of the questions that I am presented, which came through Twitter. So, is there a tool of tool to profile a stored procedure to identify the specific lines of code that are causing a performance problem? Yes, there are. This is out of the scope of this presentation, but there are a lot of tools like that. I'm not prepared now to show you this in a very efficient manner, but there are system views, system stored procedures, which can identify you which are the queries, which are the commands, which are the maybe the stored procedure, which are using most of your CPU. You just need to make a Bing search, and you'll be satisfied. Then I have another question from Alex M. How does retry mechanism work? Is it sort of a proportional retry? So the question is, will it retry at fixed time intervals or at an exponential rate? Very good question from Alex. And let me switch back to my Visual Studio environment. I'll go back to my, this is fine actually. My second project is also fine. So I implemented a very simple retry policy with a retry count and a time fixed time interval between retries, but I could have implemented another type of retry mechanism, like this overload here, with initial interval, time span dot from seconds 1 second, and then increment, which is the increment, the value it should increase the interval between retries. Let's say it's 4 seconds. I have to write a time span again. 4. We build it. Let's run this. And as you can see, the first delay is 1 second, the second delay is 5 seconds, and it will go on like this, depending on the number of retries we have implemented. Of course, there are other overloads here, like an exponential increase, an exponential decrease of time. You can play around with those. So you can still send me questions via via Twitter. These are the resources I was referring to. As I said, Transient Fault Handling Application Block is part of Enterprise Library. You can find it and you can download it from CodePlex. Then you can find very good resources on MSDN about how to use this application block. There's also a book written by Microsoft Patterns and Practices guys about transient fault handling application block, and also about auto-scaling application block, which is actually the subject of my second talk from today. There are a bunch of hands-on labs, Ntlib integration pack for Windows Azure. I recommend you to download them. They are very well executed. There is a session on database performance in SQL Azure. I took the liberty to take some slides from. It also touches SQL throttling. And I mentioned to you during my session that you can find exactly the transient condition in SQL database, or the list of errors which SQL database will generate for you. Which are the error codes which the transient fault handling application block will treat as being transient, and also how to decode the reason codes. Okay, so this is the end of my talk. Thank you for watching me. I'm going to be at 11:40, no, at 1:45 p.m. I'm going to talk about Azure autoscaling. Thank you.